Because we're recording.
Okay.
Maybe a tractor. But I don't
know. There's neat communities down that way. New Holstein, the key on all of them, all the way down, you know. Holy smokes, a big crowd.
I never got to drive through that neighborhood, and I was going to drive through it. The road was being like reconstructed or something. Yeah, so I'm like, okay.
It's a couple minutes after six. You're here.
Oh, we don't have a recording. Mm.
Well, thank you all for coming. We're going to start the meeting now. It's 3 minutes after six. I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting for Wednesday, October 26th, to order. First order of business is our roll call. Fredericks? Excuse us. Say?
Good.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah, Dave.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Is it too loud?
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Steve, you want to try yours since you don't have a...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We're good. I had called the meeting to order, and I guess we're the only ones that heard it. So now we're on to the first agenda item, which is a roll call. Fredericks, is she excused? Trevor?
Yes.
Trevor's excused. Fowler?
Here.
Gingrich?
Here.
Mooney?
Here.
Messler?
Here.
Horn?
Here.
Rupp? Here. item number two on the agenda is to modify and adopt our agenda for this evening. Any changes from the committee or any changes from Trevor? We're good to go. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda then.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three, approved minutes from September 12th, 2016 meeting. Everybody had a chance to review our minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
We have a motion.
And I'll second that motion.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, excuse me, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, presentation, Miramar Drive Historic District Project Kickoff Meeting. We're going to hear from Legacy Architecture.
Good evening. My name is Rowan Davidson. I'm a historic preservation consultant and architect with Legacy Architecture. We were contracted through a grant process to write the nomination for the Miramar Historic District. A little bit easier. About Legacy Architecture, who we are and what we do. We're a small architecture firm that specializes in historic preservation architecture. Much of our work is focused, well, we do all kinds of architectural work and consulting. Much of it is focused on historic preservation and remodeling of existing buildings. On the historic preservation side of things, we write and research a great deal of National Register nominations, surveys, and some work for the Department of Transportation. In all of the categories, we work closely with Wisconsin Historical Society. Uh, typically for some of these meetings, a member of the Wisconsin Historical Society is here to talk about the actual National Register of Historic Places, but in this case, they were not able to attend. So I'm going to do my best to describe what it is and how it works. Is the official list of the nation's historic places worthy of preservation? This can be for architecture, history, the life of an individual, or even some archaeological reasons. It's an honorary program, a federal program, which means that it does not incur any regulations on private property at all. There's no punitive measures included, and it is entirely based on prestige. The primary advantage is, you know, notoriety or pride in your property, and the secondary advantage is potential tax credits, which can be used to restore and preserve your homes or buildings. For income-producing properties, which I don't believe any of yours are, there is a 20% federal tax credit and a 20% state federal tax credit. For homes, however, they are all eligible for 25% state income tax credit. It's a little complicated how this is used, so I'll do my best to describe it or answer questions about how it works. The first thing, obviously, that you need to do is you need to own an historic building. The second thing is to confirm that it is historic through either having the National Register of Historic Places, which this district would need, or to apply individually to the Wisconsin Historical Society. All of the work which would qualify for the use of historic tax credits would need to comply with the Secretary of Interior standards through the National Park Service. This is a very long and arduous list of various things you can and cannot do to your house, and some of it is subjective in the sense that the judge is technically the National Park Service and in reality is the Wisconsin Historical Society at the state level. There's certain requirements on how much you would spend. This is based on the value of your property primarily. Though typically for houses, it's something around $10,000 over the course of 3 years. So simple projects like replacing a roof or replacing a water heater and electrical systems would probably easily make that figure and thus be able to qualify for the tax credit. And as I said earlier, there's only certain expenses which are considered eligible. Most of these make a lot of sense. They're fairly intuitive. It's things which would preserve the historic nature of the house or preserve the house in general, rather than things which would, you know, alter the house in a non-historic way. So if you wanted to repair the brickwork, say touch pointing, that would count. If you wanted to replace electrical system, that would count as well. If you wanted to add a four-car garage and vinyl, that would not count. Oh, and the last requirement is, of course, that you own the building for at least 5 years. It's your home, so I assume that probably would be the case. Mm-hmm. A few of the other districts, these are just a few examples that we've done recently with legacy architecture, include downtown Baraboo, which is a commercial district. All the buildings, therefore, would be income-producing buildings, mostly storefront businesses. And another one is downtown Delavan, again, similar. And another one is Kleinman Street Residential Historic District in Watertown. I include this because the houses are very different than the ones here along Miramar Drive. The scale of the area is about the same. It's about two blocks, about 40 buildings. And most of the people in the district were very eager to have this listed in the National Register for obvious reasons. Now, this is just preliminary. Nomination has not been completed. It's not been submitted. It's not done yet. There's still work to do. I was taking pictures just today of the properties along the street. But this is a small map of what will likely be included in the district. The reason that it's determined to be these boundaries is largely a historic one. The original plat of Miramar is just that. So it's very easy to trace its history in some ways. It was platted and developed over the course of about 35 years by only a few developers. And originally in 1924 was the plat itself. And all the houses included were a part of it. So very tidy by National Register standards. And only three of the properties are we considered non-contributing. which means, unfortunately, they do not qualify for the tax credits. They're not, while they are part of the district, they're within the boundaries, they're not contributing to the district historically. The reason for that is simply age in most cases. They were built in the 1970s, and the period of significance for the district only goes up into the 1960s, and that's probably pushing it in some ways too. The reason the ones in the 1970s can't contribute is because the National Park Service says that anything has to be at least 50 years old to become a National Register. So they're not, unfortunately. Another possible reason, which is, there's only one example in this district, is an older home, which has been significantly modified. It has a very large addition on it, which is designed to match the rest of the house, but is, at least to the trained eye, very obviously not a part of its original design. Garage. I guess the shading doesn't look very clear on these. It's a slate of number.
Yes.
Nope.
Oh gosh. No. Seven work.
Yeah. Now it works. Well, in any case, some of them are lightly shaded. I can point them out which ones are considered non-contributing. It's ranch house here. Here with the large addition and the pool behind it. This ranch has the only three out of the 30, which not contributing. The rest of them would be included in the ranch house. Here's a list of, again, preliminary research. These aren't final by any means. Dates and names and according to style, according to the National Park Service, all the houses included in the district. Yours should be up there. If it's not, or if you take issue with it, please tell me. If any of you have any information about your homes or about the history of the neighborhood in general, I would love to hear it. Anything at all, plans, information, family histories, and so on, I would love to include it in the document itself. The process of actually listing in the National Register is rather long. Once this is finished, probably within the next month, it'll be submitted by Legacy to the Wisconsin Historical Society. They'll internally review it and probably do so fairly quickly, within a month or two. But then it has to sit and wait for the State Board of Wisconsin to actually review it. This can take as long as a year in some cases, because there's just simply too many of these to go over. They look at about a dozen every single quarter. And there's usually over 60 or so waiting to be reviewed. Once that is done, it'll be sent to the National Park Service in Washington, D.C., and they have another 3 months to review it and list it. Wisconsin, the state, is very, very good at this, and they educate us as consultants to also be pretty good at it. So the record of them actually being listed is about 98% at this point. So not all states are that good, so we're going to toot our own horn. Once this is all said and done, it's pretty much a sure thing that it will be listed within a year. There's some pictures of your houses just because you left looking at them. Are there any questions or comments?
Yeah. Please. I have one. My name is Bill Masters. I live at 330 Miramar.
Yeah.
There was an article in the press with that, and my neighbor was there, did a good job. But it was from August 15th, and they write in here. And it says, becoming a historic district means the homeowners will live with strict guidelines in any exterior remodeling to ensure the historic look of their homes is preserved. Include restrictions like using the same color paint when repainting the house or size and shape of the windows if they need replacing. And from what I've understood at these other meetings, that's not true.
Some of that is true in the sense that if you do want to, say, replace your windows, there are strict guidelines. I mean, if you want the tax credits.
If you want the credits.
If you want the credits.
If you're not interested in the credits.
There you can do whatever you want. You can bulldoze your own house.
Okay, that's what I thought. So I guess I'm just saying, because there'll be more publicity about this, and I just think it'd be good to have the correct information out to the public.
Usually when the Wisconsin Historical Society comes with representatives to do this, do what I'm doing right now, much of the meeting is basically just trying to diffuse people's preconceptions of what being on the National Register is. As I said, it's an honorary thing. It really is. There are local districts sometimes that are landmarked by a local government, and they can make laws that restrict what you can and cannot do to your property. but not the National Park Service. And things like paint color, you can paint your house rainbow color, and it will still be.
And that's the way I understood it from coming to these meetings. When I saw this in the paper, I think there's just some misunderstanding.
Say, if you have wood siding and you want to paint it rainbow color, the National Park Service will even pay for 20% of that. But we're preserving the house. We don't really care about color.
If it's we're waiting until the spring of 2018 before it's listed.
Yes.
If there's any projects in the pipeline, are they able to apply ahead of time?
They can. Again, this is a little more complicated, and I may not be able to speak to all the minutia of how this works. They can if you tell the Wisconsin Historical Society in advance. They can't retroactively apply tax credits to something you've done. Say you replace your roof next month. Not a very good idea, but it's November. But if you did, you can't just say, oh, I spent $30,000 on my house's roof, can I have 25% of that back on my taxes? If you didn't tell the Wisconsin Historical Society, no, you can't. And they're just going to say that plainly. But if you tell them in advance, and there's, again, this list of paperwork called Part 1s and Part 2 tax credit forms, which she also does, you fill those out and give them to them, they can retroactively cover that. Again, as I said, it's spread over 3 to 5 years, depending on what kind of projects it is, too. So if you start now, let them know, and then you finish all these projects 5 years from now, those can all be bundled together, and then written off your taxes. Over again, over a period of time, years. State Park.
And you think those forms can be found online?
Yes, they can. Yeah, just at the Wisconsin Historical Society's website, actually. Okay. I believe all.
Don't move.
So I'm home to 38 Murmo. If you sold your house and it's in the process, say you did, if the people purchasing, do they then have to make an application, or does the application stay with the house?
That's a very good question. I believe it stays with the house, but again, I'm not a lawyer with Wisconsin Circle, I'm not sure. I believe that it does. But remember what I said earlier, though, you have to own the house for 5 years after saying that you're going to do this work. So you say you're going to do this work, 5 years later you can leave, but not.
Does this include just the house, or does it include something on the property too? I'll give you an example. With a stone fence that's been there since 1928, if that
part of
starts coming apart, would that be eligible since that was an original part?
Yes, I believe that it would. Yes. One thing that's tricky with some of these district nominations is more than just houses can be listed in the National Register. As silly as it sounds, say those two bollards at the bottom of Miramar, those will be included in this nomination. I'm going to write about those because they're kind of symbolize the district as a whole. Likewise, the stone fence not far away from them. I can include that, and if that is written about in the nomination, then it's considered a part of the district and thus eligible for tax credits.
Well, there was a question with the fact that our two houses faced on Riverside Drive,
yes.
But that stone fence faced us on Miramar.
Right.
So, what do you want to consider? Is it just the front of the house, or is it the entire?
It's the entire property.
It's the entire property.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember that. So I talked about those two houses in particular. They were originally not included because a survey was done 4 or 5 years ago at Alloway, and when they just kind of, well, not to say they didn't randomly draw the boundaries of the district, but they drew them in a way that made sense at the very that moment without a great deal of research. Since I found the plat since, they've been drawn back in. So they're definitely included. And their styles in history also.
He kind of fought hard for them. Thank you.
Yeah, well, no. It makes sense. However, the original plat did include the land all the way to the river on the other side of 57. And that is not included because it has no relationship at all to the rest of the
state. I thought you couldn't cross the state highway.
Oh, you could, but it doesn't make sense.
That land used to be part of my property.
Did it really?
And her property too, but it hasn't been for 50 some years.
Okay. The original plat is actually shown as lots for sale, like right into the river.
Yeah.
It's interesting, they were originally part of the ones. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Any questions from
any questions?
Okay. Jason, if you think of anything later, you guys have let me know. I can certainly pass that information along to Rowan. Joel?
I just wanted to say that Mr. Davidson was at our home today to take pictures and was very respectful and beforehand answered the questions that he did a work with, so it was a good experience.
There's a couple of other projects going on in LA all at the same time, and probably will be for another year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well,
thanks for coming over.
Appreciate it.
And then I would like to just say one thing. If you didn't receive an email from me, because I don't have your email address, so that's the easiest way for us to communicate. I know I also sent out some letters by mail. So if you'd like to remain updated throughout the process, I do that via email or phone in the case of Judy sometimes. So just see me before the end of the meeting, before you leave, and if you wish to be included.
Any other comments from the committee before we move on? I had one question. There are different ways to identify with signage at historic districts. Some of them, if you go into Green Bay, you know, then you see the historic Astor district, and it's placed on each of the signs. And some places have a monument at the entrance, beginning of the street. I guess that's down the road, but those are all options that could be considered. But individual properties in a district are not individually cited with a plaque. I haven't seen it, but then I don't know.
I think that has happened in some places around the country, but typically no. Usually a district is marked, as you said, by street signage.
So that's pretty much the way we would have this district marked, would be with some kind of sign at the entrance or on the street, street sign. Yeah. Thanks. I guess we'll go on to item number 5, announcements. Trevor, do you have any announcements for us?
Before everyone leaves, and I would like to announce that the Webster Avenue Bridge is going to be open on Saturday, finally. And the Alloy Business Association and the area businesses are sponsoring an event with festivities, music, food, and a ribbon cutting ceremony at noon. But the festivities go from 11 to 3 on Saturday and include some chalk drawings, and I believe the west side of the street will be closed during that time period so that you're able to walk on the bridge and see all the work done. So other than that, I have no other announcements.
Thanks, Trevor. Any announcements from committee members?
Well, from the village board perspective, I'll just piggyback on Trevor's suggestion that if you want direct communication from him, email probably works the best. We're also trying to figure out whatever way we can to cut costs, working on the budget right now. Water bills still go out, postcard to most people. You can get those electronically. You can go auto pay or whatever. So if either of those things work for you, contact the water department here at the village, and we'll save a mailing each time somebody does that. So small savings, but they add up.
Any other announcements from the committee? Okay, we'll go on to item number 6, public appearances. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. A couple different things. With regards to the mandatory compliance, I believe that as a certified local government, LOA is a mandatory compliance village, and I'd like the village to change. I'd like the village to change to a voluntary compliance using the certified, the certificate of appropriateness.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Pretty much.
So, for example, changing your windows, if you take a look at the certificate of appropriateness form that has all the things that they can regulate, the committee really doesn't want to regulate it, so I think that you need to change from a mandatory to a voluntary compliance using your certificate of appropriateness. And then also, Miramar is a great district, but it's only part of Old Alloway. Old Alloway is much larger and much more, has other significant neighborhoods. There's a lot of older homes up on Webster Avenue and on Iroquois and on Mission. So I'd like to encourage exploring making all of Old Alloway from 172 to Alloway Avenue and from the river to Oakwood a historic district. So, you know, because there's those were originally identified as potential districts, but the state cut them out in their original field notes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, we'll go on to item number 7. Action regarding 2016 certified local government grant applications. Trevor, do you want to start us off on this discussion?
Sure. As you know, we're going through the grant process right now for the Robinson Town District, which is for our guest tonight. That includes the group of 84 homes north of the railroad tracks between Riverside Drive and Webster Avenue. So that would be our second historic district. We're kind of at the stages you were at a year ago. So we're working through that process. We're applying for a grant so that we can hire a consultant to do the work for that. We are also applying for the grant to nominate an individual home on the south end of the village, the Roger Minahan House. And so I included in the packets the committee what I'm going to be including in our application for that grant for Robinson Hill District. Roger Minahan House, I expect, will follow a very similar format. But I really was just looking for any input the committee had. If you saw anything in there that wasn't included that you think should be included, these are the four or three basic questions that the application asked, as well as some finances behind that. I did receive a second estimate for the district itself. The district was, we received one for a total of $11,800, and the second estimate was $11,200, so very close, and I do believe I'm waiting on one more estimate. We're only required to submit two to the state, but just a third estimate just to see how those numbers vary. And then for the individual districts, the two estimates I received so far vary between $300 as well. So very close.
So Trevor, the number you just gave us, is that for... It was my understanding that we were going to go on two separate tracks. We're going to apply for a grant for the district and then apply for a separate grant for the individual home.
Right.
The numbers that you quoted, was that one or both? Or was it just Robinson Hill?
That was just Robinson Hill.
Right.
And then the Roger Minahan House was separate. I contacted the consultant firms and said that I recognize that there would be efficiencies if we did the projects together.
Mm-hmm.
For the grant process, we're going to be applying for the projects separately. So they gave me estimates based on doing the project separately, but I expect there to be some efficiencies there if we want to do it together.
So both,
right.
Both properties, both everything's covered.
Right. So hopefully we get the grant to cover both projects.
Trevor, thanks for writing this. Did you write this?
I did. I will have to admit, I did take some information from Legacy Architecture and Design Census Survey.
Nevertheless, you're the one that put it down in writing. So I'd just like to say, I think you did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
I noticed one property on here that we hadn't discussed, to my knowledge, and that was the Alfred Neufeld House, 204 East Whitney Street, that you were adding in there. Next to the last paragraph. Could you say something about that? I mean, maybe I missed something, but I don't know that we actually discussed that. I mean, it's one of the 13 homes that were identified in our intensive survey, so it's fine to have it in the request.
Sure. For the audience, the Alfred Neufeld House is a current nomination being worked on. The property owners decided to actually contract with Legacy Architecture to do the nomination on their own versus receiving the grant funds through the village.
Oh, okay.
So that's something I recently learned about and was able to include in here. Yeah. I'm sure Rowan has learned some information about the house, but
there today. It's a very beautiful home.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. I don't know that. Maybe I'm the only one that didn't know that.
Well, I don't think we discussed it as a committee.
Yeah.
There's something I recently learned about. So.
I just thought that's good. No, thank
good
you.
Good catch.
Since we're going to be, this is an action item, right? You want us to say yes, go ahead.
Right. I mean, I kept it as an action item just in case you want to take action. Action's not necessary, but if you're okay with the wording, if you don't have any additions, or if you do have additions later on, I won't be submitting the application for another week or so. So
you have till November 11th, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. No, we don't need to. I mean, if we're all nodding our heads, saying yeah, it's okay, then we're fine with your proceeding. Thank you. Any other discussion on this item? Hearing none, we'll go on to item number 8, next meeting date and agenda items.
That is the Wednesday right before Thanksgiving, so I'm not sure if you want to. I believe in the past we've had a meeting in the middle of December to kind of cover because there's a Christmas holiday then too. So I'm not sure if that's a discussion that maybe we can email and come up with a date that works for everyone. But
otherwise, we'll have the same issue for the December meeting.
Right.
Before Christmas. Any thoughts on that? I mean, I'm fine with. Unless there are some items that need to be acted upon sooner than that, then I'm certainly okay with everybody else that's having a meeting in December.
Yeah, maybe like the week of the 12th or something like that. It's kind of
so it's not too close to the holidays.
Right.
Yeah. During the week of the 12th? Is everybody? No?
No.
No?
John, you're getting the nonverbal that's not going to work. I can see that.
An option is November the 30th.
An option is November 30th.
That would work for me.
That's fine.
That'd be okay.
That's okay.
Okay. I'll send out an email just so everyone's able to check the calendars, but we'll tentatively set for November 30th.
Thank you.
That date kind of rings a bell. Do we have another meeting scheduled? That's not a Planning Commission meeting, is it?
Yeah, Planning Commission on the 28th.
28th, okay, never mind. I don't have my calendar with me. Anything else? In that case, I will go on to item number 9, adjournment. Just want to thank everybody for coming out in kind of crummy weather and participating, and look forward to the process going forward. So, item number 9, adjournment. I'll entertain a motion.
So move.
We have a motion.
And I'll second that motion.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you.
Talk about some more stuff.
Well, that's good.